Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
People, thank you so much for holding on. We had a dynamite first hour with the Mr. Marine Change, Gene Andrews. He covered what's going on with the General Nathan Bedford Forrest statue and grave removal up to around Columbia, Tennessee. But you can go back and listen to the archives, and we'll tell all about that. It was just a very emotional thing. But right now, we're getting ready to go back to our next guest. This is his second encore appearance. It's Pastor Everett Ramsey. He's coming on the show. He came on the first time a while back, two or three weeks ago, and he told us the incredible story of America's first padlock church. That's right, the friggin' satanic government. The feds hate people like this pastor here. They hate all Christians. They padlocked his church, man. It was an appalling government overreach and corruption and religious persecution predating Patriot Acts 1 and 2, Waco and Ruby Ridge, and even the betrayal and murder of Gordon Call. I know something about that. Gordon Call was murdered within 5 miles of my brother-in-law, who's now deceased, 20 years older than I am. And, you know, probably that set what all went on there with Pastor and the murder of the Gordon Call probably set the precedent for state-sponsored religious persecution of Christians in America. That's some of the research that Jacob Tyler dug up last week. In fact, I was reading for his show notes then because I can't keep everything to memory. But anyway, Pastor Everett, my brother, what an honor to have you back on tonight. How are you doing tonight, brother?
Hey, all right. Been waiting to get on here and talk to you. Excited about what's going on. I know that people are concerned, but God's still on the throne, and we're getting ready to exercise some court of divine justice on this matter.
Well, Pastor, before we go any further, I usually start the first hour with a prayer, but I did not tonight because I know you were coming on, and I ask you, if you will, please also ask God also to bless our show because we need it bad, but go ahead and take off, Pastor. Say grace for us right. And you yourself. And
our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight thanking you for the Lord Jesus who came and gave his blood for us. And Lord, we're grateful tonight and we're thankful for your election of us, creation of us. You made us to be your children and your sons. We did not do that. You did that. We thank you for all of your sons and daughters here in this land who are standing up and telling the truth. Thank you for this radio broadcast. I pray, God, that you would lay it upon the hearts of people all over the area, that they would be willing to give and to give sacrificially, that the voice could continue to go out. For we are facing very, very deadly things that we cannot finish in our own power. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us, and we ask to do that. And bless the leaders and the owners of this station and those who are doing the work, and give them your grace, give them your sustenance, and may they always be able to speak without fear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Lord only knows we need just the helmet and all the armor of God Almighty. We need to put on all of his armor to withstand Amen. Those fiery darts. But back to you, Pastor. I'm so tickled to have you back on tonight. You're one of the very few real pastors in the world left today. I would go on with another rabbit trail, but I'm going to shut up because I know you have enough. Like I was telling Jacob, you have enough. It would take us 40 hours to even touch the base of love.
Well, I think the last time we were talking about what happened in Nebraska, and this case there was very simple, is that the church was running a Christian school, K-12, doing a very great job, and the state decided that they would not allow us to operate because we didn't get their license, which means we didn't use their curriculum, we didn't use their teacher standards. All of our teachers were educated, they had college degrees, and we taught them the real true history of America, not the socialist history of America. And we taught them the Word of God, not the Good Samaritan story as told usually. So they were not happy with us, and we just obeyed God. You know, our job is not to go to war against the evil. Our job is to obey God, whatever that is, wherever that is. And if they make it tough on us, then we do the best we can under the circumstances God gives us. And I was put in jail, and six of my elders who had children in school were put in jail. And they called the mothers and the fathers to court with their children, and they left the state on a bus and had school on a bus as they went on a tour to Washington, D.C., and traveled into many churches and got the word out. So they never were able to really stop it. It was very interesting. Our first judge was a Catholic judge. He had used a Catholic school for his children. So he asked the sheriff to bring me up out of the jail cell one evening into his office. And I thought it was very interesting. The sheriff was going to stand around and guard the judge as he talked to me. And the judge looked at him and said, "Leave. I don't need you. I don't need you. This man's not going to hurt me." And I said, "That's right. I'm not going to hurt you." And the first thing he did is he got on his knees and said, "Let's pray." And we did. And then he began to educate me. He would deny this today. People say, "Well, if he did it, he ought to tell." Well, no, his job was on the line, so he wasn't going to confess all the things that he did. But he said, "Well, you know, if you'd move out of the state, out of my jurisdiction, probably wouldn't have a problem." I said, "Can't do that. God wants me here." Then he said, "Well, I want you to read the case that's on the case papers," and it said, "The Attorney General Exriel, the state of Nebraska, versus the Faith Baptist Church, a Nebraska state corporation." And he said, "Is that a heavenly corporation?" I said, "No." I said, is that an angelic corporation?" I said, "No, I don't think so." He said, "They want me to bulldoze your building as a nuisance. And we can do that, but I won't do it." But he said, "They will put a judge in here who will." But he said, "You need to get unincorporated." I said, "As soon as you let me out of here, I'll do that." And he let me out the next week, and I went and unincorporated. Came back and filed a motion in the court to dismiss the case, and they kicked him off the bench and put in another guy that would, his name was Reagan. That was when Reagan was president. This guy was Reagan. He was an old ex-Marine sergeant, and I had written several books in jail, and they began to move, and he said, I want you, Sheriff, to make sure this man does not get any paper and pencil. I don't want him writing while he's in jail. I don't want him prospering on anything in jail. I want him to suffer." And so the sheriff said, okay. But the problem was they put the word out, and the problem is if you're in jail, they have to show you and give you whatever people send you in the envelope. Now, if it's contraband, they can throw it away, but if it's not, they have to give it to you. So everybody was told to put two sheets of paper in with their letters, so I had piles and piles of paper and letter pencils and all kinds of things came in. I actually wrote two more books while I was in jail on that. And so the Lord was great. But then we got down to the place where it was
Pastor, I apologize. We have our first break. We will have to take a quick station break.
Okay, we'll
people,
thanks.
Hang on to your seat. We're listening to the one and only Pastor Everett Ramsey. We'll be right back. You're listening to Blood River Radio.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Well, people, thank you so much for holding on. As I did with opening with the first hour, I've just got chills going up and down my spine. I thank God that I get to come in here every Saturday and battle for God. I don't do it quite as, I guess, I'm not the great Christian a lot of people would be. I'm lean more on the combative side. But, Pastor, before we go any further, I need you to give us your website, how people could donate to your church, to your operations, how they can buy books. Give us that website, Pastor.
Well, I will, but I would urge people to donate to you guys. But my website is Everett Ramsey, E-V-E-R-E-T-T, Ramsey, D-D.com. And on every page, there's a place you can either donate or you can just send an email and get whatever. I give away everything I have. I don't sell anything. There may be a suggested donation or something on there, but doesn't mean anything. If you don't have any money, we'll help you. We'll give you books or whatever. But that's the place to get a hold of me at my website. Our address is P.O. Box 18, Houston, Missouri, 65483. Very simple little town. And we appreciate I know I heard from one of your listeners last week, and we appreciated that very much.
That made my day. You told me that. By the way, you're not too far from what we used to call Fort Lost in the Woods. I was up there for 29 days before sending across the waters.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Pastor?
Yeah.
That's good old Fort Leonard Wood. I was there for 29 days, a whole 29 days. They said I was going to be there forever, but unfortunately forever was 29 days before I had to go across the waters. But, Pastor, before we go further, I'd like to go ahead. Oh, I'm probably going to get in trouble now with Sam. But I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Is the Mormon Church, the Baptist Church, the Catholic Church, the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church, the Jehovah's Witness Church, you pick your church, are they all pretty much government churches right now? Do they have 501c3? Sam's probably going to jump me for that, but Sam knows I can't keep my mouth shut. I just named every big church I could think of. Are they?
The churches are ineffective. They've been neutralized. And they've been neutralized by being incorporated 501c3 organizations. They can't say anything about a political, you know, when Obama ran for office, there wasn't a preacher anywhere got up in an incorporated church and said, don't vote for him because they would have gone to jail or they'd have been fined or something. Now, somebody somewhere will tell me, yeah, they did. They got up and did it. Well, that may be. But if they're probably so small and so ineffective that it didn't bother anybody. But I can tell you, if you're a big church and you have a lot of influence and you start dealing with the the problems of society with the Bible, whether it be abortion or whether it be the election process or if it is the education process, it doesn't matter. If you're big enough and you have an influence and you get involved, I'll tell you right away, you'll be on their crosshairs. And if you're not in their crosshairs, all I can tell you is that either you're too small or you're too silent to be heard, and they're not afraid of you. So I'm in their crosshairs all the time, and I just learned to live that way. God's protected me, and he protected me in jail and in prison. He's protected me on the road. I was in a meeting in Virginia many years ago. It was in the 80s, and some guy was taken out of there that had a .45 in his belt. So I don't know what he was going to do with it, but I don't think he came there for friendly purposes. So God has been good, and God has protected us. And we learned, God taught us that we had forgotten, and we never had been taught. Look, the truth is the seminaries and the Bible colleges do not teach the preachers how to know God or how to know what God is and what his program is. All they're taught is the denominational line. We want you to go out and build churches. We want you to send money to missions. We want you to do this. And we want you to do that. And if you do this and you do that and you make a big church, you'll become a great leader and we'll give you great praise and kudos. But they don't teach you how to know God and to get his operation operative. But he did teach us. And I remember the last time I came out of the county prison jail, I stood in front of the cameras and I handed them a piece of paper with my comments on it. And I told them that we were starting a court of divine justice against the Attorney General, the State Department of Health, and everybody in the state who was trying to do in the Church of God. And we prayed, and we asked God to remove these people, and if he had to kill them to get them out of office, then that was fine. And, we got blasted big time in the papers locally. Nationally, we got a lot of acceptance, but in the state of Nebraska, we were considered, we're just really bad folks that we would pray such a prayer. But I want you to know that out of that, three of the top people who were opposing us lost their positions and went to jail on fraud the next year, and the governor lost his position, and there were two people who actually lost their lives. So God is there, and I could give you a string of Court of Divine Justices that we held, Dr. Dixon, Dr. McCurry, and myself across this country, and God acted in every single case he acted. We were very careful while we take a case, and that became the problem. Many people wanted it for personal reason. You can't use it for that. Court of Divine Justice is for one reason, and that's to protect the work of God and the plan of God, and that's what we're doing now as they're getting ready with this COVID-19 thing. They're trying to pass this bill. I'm sure you've seen it at 6666, and that's where they can go into your home and force test you and force vaccinate you. And if they find the COVID virus, then you don't have the right kind of bathrooms and everything, they can take your children out, take them somewhere else, or take your mother or your wife or yourself and put you in a place where they can do whatever they want to do with you. And if you refuse, then they have a special camp they take you to so that you're never seen from again. So, people, we need to be aware that we're at the edge. We're at the brink where if Mr. Bill Gates and the Rockefeller Foundation and a few other places like that get their way, there are a lot of people in this country who, if they stand up for God, they're gonna disappear off the scene unless God intervenes. And that's what we're asking for, and I believe that's what will happen.
Pastor, it's amazing. Getting a court of divine justice. I'm going to have to get with you on that because
I'll send you. I'll send anybody a copy of it that wants it. We've already got the papers drawn, and we're going to take care of it tomorrow in church, and then from then it'll go out. It'll go out to anybody in our mailing list. Anybody wants it, and if you want it, we're going to ask you to join us in praying the imprecatory prayers and asking God to intervene. And all the information is there. Look, I've got four links included in this paperwork that will take you to YouTube and Mr. Gates, where he actually says that we're using vaccines, and if we do it right, we can eliminate 15% of the population of the world. Well, now, I don't know whether people are listening or not, but if you're going to get rid of people, you got to kill them. You can't do anything else with them. So what are they going to do? They're going to use vaccines to kill people. Well, I don't want them killing me. I'd rather they just shoot me if they're going to do that. I don't want to die a slow death with a vaccine. And or they can actually put the COVID thing in your body and you'll test positive for it. There was one doctor who didn't believe in their testing, and he sent in a pear and some celery and some dog meat, and I don't know what else he sent in, and they all tested positive for COVID. COVID is a general name. It's a code name. It's a general name for a virus. And if you've ever had a flu shot or if you've ever been vaccinated in your life, you probably were given some form of that COVID generalized virus that's put into your body. It's probably there. So they know what they're doing, and everybody else doesn't know. And people go along with it because they're scared to death. Most of the people who have died, most of them did not die from COVID. There are many, many doctors and nurses that have documented that they were forced to put down COVID if they died of a heart attack or if they died from emphysema or if they died from whatever it was, if they tested positive for COVID. Well, if you take a blood sample, you're probably going to test positive if you ever had a shot before. So
you got that right. We got to go to another quick break, Pastor. Okay. We'll be right back. People, you're listening to the one and only Pastor Everett Ramsey. He's going to fill us in with some more great commentary as soon as we come back from this break. Hold on to your seat. You're listening to Blood River Radio, people.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The House passed a $3 trillion coronavirus relief bill providing assistance to state and local governments, hazard pay for frontline healthcare workers, student debt forgiveness, and bolstered Medicaid and Medicare. The bill is known as the HEROES Act, the Health and Economic Recovery Omnibus Emergency Solutions Act. The measure, over 1,800 pages long, is unlikely to gain traction in the Republican-controlled Senate, although Senate Leader Mitch McConnell has indicated the Senate will pass further COVID-19 relief legislation. He said he will work with the White House to determine what is needed and how soon. The pandemic has raised concerns about having lawmakers gather to vote, especially since many members of Congress are older than 60 and therefore more vulnerable to serious illness caused by the virus. House Republicans opposed to the rule change are arguing that members of Congress are essential workers and should immediately return to the Capitol. This is USA Radio News.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for health care. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The Texas Supreme Court blocked a lower court order that had allowed residents to vote by mail if they cite concerns about catching the coronavirus. Republican State Attorney General Ken Paxton petitioned the court for the stay after an appeals court upheld the lower court ruling last month and lifting restrictions. The stay prevents county election officials from formally taking mail-in ballot applications from voters, which they can do beginning 60 days before an election. Texas held its primary in March, and it wasn't immediately clear whether the high court would hear the arguments and issue a final ruling before Election Day in November. Five sailors on the U.S. aircraft carrier sideline in Guam due to COVID-19 have tested positive for the virus for a second time and have been taken back off the ship. The resurgence of the virus in those sailors aboard the USS Theodore Roosevelt underscores the behavior of the highly contagious virus and raises more questions about how troops that test positive can be reintegrated into the military, especially submarines and ships. This is USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but Can you fly?
Nope. Never had lessons.
Well, thank you, people, for holding on. My name is Eddie Miller, in case you didn't know. That's me telling you that for the 50th time. You're listening to Blood River Radio, and we have the Pastor Ever Ramsey on tonight. What an amazing pastor. We'll get him back on as soon as possible, that's for sure. I'm going to comment a few things he said. One of them was kind of funny. He talked about this fellow with a 45, and I don't remember the whole story, but my good friend, Keith Alexander, who's on the political cesspool, he once told some people that I was the only person he ever knew that had a holster for a 45 on a King James Bible. But anyway, getting back to this, Pastor, I've got this this printout from Numbers USA. Since you brought up the bat soup fever, the COVID or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It says there's 1.4 million healthcare workers have been laid off in the past 7 weeks. I'm a registered nurse. I can attest to this. Yet some senators from both parties want to import replacements for them. This comes from, like I say, from Numbers USA. But not all senators are alike. Senators Tom Cotton, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, and Chuck Grassley sent letters to the White House urging Trump to cut these employment visas. And get this, this is how insane it is, how much they hate us, how much they hate white Christians. Yep. Despite the fact that 1.4 million medical workers have been laid off, and I can testify that here in Memphis, the hospitals are empty. The hospitals in other places in the United States, I've talked to fellow nurses who said they're empty. We don't have one single COVID case in St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, who I'm closely affiliated with, Le Bonheur, the VA, who I'm in there all the time. 1.4 million workers laid off. Despite that, they've got the government has put out 40,000 new visas for doctors and nurses, because doctors and nurses won't do that dirty work. Doctors, you can't get anybody to do the dirty work for a doctor. They are underpaid. But anyway, going back to this, the last thing here, that's pretty much it. So these people claim that the hospitals are overwhelmed. That's a lie. The hospitals have the lowest census right now they've had in God only knows how long. So what do you think about that, Pastor?
Well, I know it's true because I live 1 mile away from our hospital, and they've never had a case there. I've talked to the administrator. I know him. We went into Springfield. My wife had to have a procedure done at the Mercy Hospital, which is one of the top 10 in the whole nation. It's a huge operation. And she asked them how many COVID cases they had, and they said, we haven't had any. The hospitals are empty. All the doctors were gone. Nobody could have anything done. They're going broke because they can't do any of the things they usually do. They can't do any surgeries. They can't do whatever they would do for heart patients or diabetes or whatever. They're expected to be null and void until they fill up with COVID-19 folks. And that's not going to happen. And most of the places around here, the hospitals have not had any cases whatsoever.
Also, Pastor, this article, this one more tidbit from this article from Numbers USA, the great organization, they say that the country has lost 33 million jobs. These aren't totally medical jobs. The country has lost a 33 million jobs in just the past 7 weeks, probably worse than they even had during the Great Depression. And I saw this firsthand because my last gig as a registered nurse, I worked at a huge hospital here in Memphis called Methodist University Hospital. It's hooked up with the University of Tennessee. And I saw the beginning of the end when they started bringing all these nurses in from the Philippines. And I became friends with these Filipinos. But what they were doing, they were shafting the Filipinos because they were bringing the Filipinos in here, holding the threat over their head. If they didn't play ball with the people, with the Methodists and the Baptists, what have you, hospitals, they would send them back to the Philippines. In the United States, even though they were working for about half of what we were working for, it was like a paradise compared to working as a nurse in the Philippines.
Right.
We got penalized too. We got laid off. But Pastor, I'll ask you this question. Is this just part of the great, what we like to call the soft core? We have what we call hardcore white genocide, like it's going on in South Africa, where the South Africans are being murdered and raped each and every day. That's hardcore. We call what we call soft core, what some people would call ethnic cleansing. Is this part of the ethnic cleansing, Pastor?
Well, of course. They've tried to incite hardcore cleansing here, but it hasn't worked because this is God's country and this is where God's Israel people live. But His covenant people, we're His covenant people. He's protecting us at some point. Yes, we've sinned. We've done a lot of things that we shouldn't do, and we've made a lot of mistakes. But He still loves us, and we're still His, and He's going to protect whatever that remnant is that He needs. But whatever, if you really want to know what their goal is, down in Georgia, there is this great monument put up by the Masons who point out that the world population has to be decreased to 500 million or whatever it is. And you go on YouTube and watch this Microsoft guy he's got these billions of dollars, and he's now in the vaccine business. And he has made speech after speech after speech on there that you can hear him actually say, we're making vaccines that, if it's properly administered, we can lower the world population by 15%. Do you have any idea how many people that is? That is like 450 million people, or 500 million people that are going to die from his vaccines. And they've already proved it in Africa. There's a nation there that a third of their children died when they took his vaccine. And now they're trying to come up with one for us to take, and they're going to mandate that we take it so that we can be put on a slow death to wherever we're going to go. They want to get rid of the white Anglo-Saxon people because they are the people of God.
Absolutely. You know, that's interesting that you talked about those vaccinations, because I, too, have followed Bill Gates from other people I know. You know, and he'll brag about it. If you read their literature, Pastor, and I'm sure you've read it, I'm preaching to the preacher. If you read the literature from the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, they say openly, we want to get the world population down to 500 million because these people, these clowns, these useless eaters, they consider us useless eaters. They're taking up our space. They're using our coal. They're using our oil. They want to get us down to 500 million people. Excuse me. 500 million people.
Yep.
And you know, those are the Georgia Guidestones that you were referring to. The great one and only Pastor Stanley, Dr. Stanley Monteith. We used to have him on our show years ago. He's the first one to put me on those Georgia Guidestones. And I think it's written something like eight languages plus or minus one,
right?
And it tells in detail what they want to do,
right?
And Pastor, you've probably also heard, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the people like the Bill Gates and people above him that he takes his marching orders from, they want to merge. And people don't take my word for it, don't take the pastor's word for it, you can research this for yourself. These people are satanic. They're doing Satan's work. They want to merge, do away with humans completely. They don't need humans anymore because they got robots and machines to do all the work. They want to merge humans with machines to give them, think they can give themselves eternal life. How about that, Pastor?
Yeah. They're working on all of those kind of things. And, you know, most people didn't realize they've got tons and miles and miles and miles of tunnels underneath the United States where they've kept children and women locked up for centuries and used them in all kinds of actually sacrificing them in satanic rituals under the ground. And their greatest drug is called adrenochrome, which is they get a child or somebody and they terrorize them, and the body produces adrenaline, which flows into the blood. Then they harvest the blood and put that in a bottle and sell it to the movie stars and sell it to the people like Clintons and the Bushes and people in high places that live off of this stuff. And so that's where our children have gone. And then in every state, the welfare system has been explicit in picking up these children. If they find children that don't have any parents, anybody care about them, they just sell them to these people and they cage them up and get rid of them. That's what President Trump was doing with the ship in New York and in L.A. They weren't putting COVID people on there. They were bringing out hundreds and thousands of these kids, most of them dead, and trying to help the ones that were alive, putting them on these ships so that nobody would know what was going on. But the tunnel that went up to the harbor there in New York came right through the Clinton Foundation building. So they were deeply involved in it. And it's hard for people to understand this kind of stuff, and they don't want to believe it. But all they got to do is go online, and there's plenty of – it's not just one place. There are hundreds of places that are giving these pictures and giving these evidences that these things are there. And I believe that they've reached a place where there are too many people waking up, too many people are recognizing what's going on, too many people like you and me that are out blowing the trumpet, and I believe that they're going to try to make what I would call a cascading close on the event within the next 2 to 3 years.
Well, Pastor, we're going to blow the trumpet as soon as we come back from this next break, our last break, I believe. People, hang on to your seats. You're listening to Blood River Radio. I'm Eddie DeBombardier Miller. We have Pastor Everett on tonight, Everett Ramsey. We'll be right back.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principal minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Well, people, I'll tell you what, this is one heck of a radio program we're listening to tonight. Thank you, Pastor Everett Ramsey. Pastor, you opened up 15 cans of worms. I'm going to throw a few terms out there for our people. I'm going to mention a few terms. Senator John DeCamp, Republican, Nebraska. Inspector Jim Rothstein. Inspector Jim Rothstein, Bohemian Grove. Franklin Cover-Up, Omaha, Nebraska. Director of the CIA, William Egan Colby. Pastor, you have really got us going. We had, back in the day, a long time ago, we used to have Senator John DeCamp on now. I think he's deceased. We also had the FBI special, and he was Ted Gunderson, talked to him. He was head huge, huge high up in the FBI. Yeah. What brought them down was the very thing you're talking about. They detailed it. We had Senator John DeCamp on several times talking about his great one and only book, The Franklin Cover-Up. That we can't possibly cover that up. Cover that tonight. He had the one and only, the Inspector Jim Rothstein working with him, investigating this child molestation, child kidnapping, Satan worship, murder. And they published it in a book called The Franklin Cover-Up. They had William Colby, who, and I'm going to shut up after this, William Egan Colby, Bill Colby, was the director of the CIA. But before he was the director of the CIA, he was in Vietnam with Captain John DeCamp, who later became an attorney. He was helping him. Also, William Colby was helping John DeCamp and Jim Rothstein uncover this stuff. And lo and behold, while William Egan Colby, the former director of the CIA, was cooking a full meal in his house, all of a sudden he decided to go swimming. They found him drowned outside of his cabin. What do you know? But, Pastor, man, I tell you, we could do 4 more hours on just what you just can of worms you just opened up. So I'm throwing it back, the ball back to your court, Pastor.
Well, I just want people to be aware that many things are going on. We are in a very serious point in time. There has been an ongoing genocide against the Anglo-Saxon people for some time, and it seems like most people are not aware. I really don't understand how Christian people can send their kids into public school. You're just tossing them away. You're tossing them into the world system when you do that. And even some of the colleges, I think you just have to be very careful. But we need to go back like our forefathers did, and they taught their children at home. They taught them from the Bible. They taught them how to read. They taught them math. They taught them the things they needed to know. And many people say, well, I don't know biology, and I don't know a lot of the electronics and all this. Well, some of that stuff we don't need to know. Anyway, it's just stuff that is going to lead the children off in the wrong direction. But the churches have become so anemic. There's just no preaching against sin anymore. Nobody names sin. Nobody talks about sin. Nobody tells people that God is unhappy with them. All they say is God loves everybody, and that's wrong. He doesn't love the devil, and he doesn't love evil. In fact, the Bible says he hates the wicked every day. So there is a God who is going to bring about judgment and bring about justice, and it's going to come maybe sooner than we had thought. I don't know from a prophetic standpoint. Some people ask me, are you premillennial, postmillennial, amillennial, are you this or that? I don't have a title anymore. I don't know. I'm just a looker. I believe Jesus is coming again. I believe there are things that we need to be ready for, and many people are going to be surprised. Many people are going to be shocked at that we have a God of justice and a God of law and a God who believes in righteousness. Because most people have left that field far long ago. And the state wants to control education. Now, in this state, Missouri has always been one of the freer states, and Arkansas was well. When we were in our case back in the 80s, that was the first state that John Dewey and his compadres got what they call the compulsory attendance law passed. That was the first state, was Nebraska. And then they went from there. They said, well, okay, people accepted that. Their kids have got to go to school. So we're going to say the schools have to be licensed. And in order to be licensed, they've got to have teachers who are certified. And before the teachers are certified, they've got to be taught the things we want them to have been taught. And so teachers are taught, especially in the sociology and psychology area, is very, very bad. The psychology is the religion of Judaism, and it's the opposite of Christianity. You can't put the two together. In the Bible, we saw where the Lord healed people, and they said they were demon-possessed. Today, they would just be called psychotic, or they would be called deficit syndrome or something. They would have some problem mentally with them. There was no such thing in the scriptures, as far as I know, as being insane. Now, I believe that a lot of the so-called insanity today among people, and especially white people, is that they've been eating the wrong kind of foods and additives, things that have been put in their medicines and different things that really do affect their mind. And they are having a problem. This whole idea of Alzheimer's is something that's been brought on to us by luminizing the water in our state and our town here. They put it to the vote of the people. Do you want whatever they call it? What is it?
Fluoride.
There's fluoride in the water. And thank God the people here in this town voted it down. They don't have fluoride in the water here. The state people and the drug people have gone on a maniac trial trying to get people to change their mind, trying to convince them that it's the best thing they need. But everybody here knows very well that it's also what causes Alzheimer's. So they voted it down. And people in America, all of our freedom has to be fought on a local level. You can't do it at the state house, and you can't do it at Washington, D.C. You got to do it in the streets, like you say. I like what you say. You have to fight it in the streets in your own town. That's where you got to do it.
Yes, you do. That's you do, Pastor. You most certainly do. And probably, and I know Sam, God bless Sam. He lets us stay on the show. He supports us every way there is. As a matter of fact, he just made that last commercial with Monica Schaefer. I think it's our best commercial. He did that with no thanks, no money. He just did that extra out of his own pocket. But, you know, we say, and Sam will back me up, you have to start at your village, at your town. And Sam would back me up on this. Probably the most important person we could have to do this fight, we have to have a God-fearing sheriff. And we also, to back him up, we need a God-fearing district attorney. We need a grand jury. And you also need a posse / constitutional militia to resist these satanic federal heads. And I'm going to shut up. I'm taking too much of your time, Pastor.
Well, that's all right. And all I was going to say is that you're hitting a lot of the right points, because that's why I've had tremendous amounts of history with the media. And the media, if you see the media going after somebody in a local setting, you better not get on board. You better wait, because that guy or that woman or that child or whatever, they're probably a very good person, and the enemy is afraid they're going to become a leader. And so they've set the media up to try to destroy them, so the people won't have any faith in them. And that's what happened here for a while. When I came back here, is the media took me to task for about 3 or 4 years, and no church around here would ask me to preach for them, even though I was raised here, graduated from high school here. Everybody here mostly knows me. And I would eventually get into a church and preach, and they'd say, well, that's a good sermon. But they never did call me back, you know, because the media was able to poison the well. Now, people have learned that I'm not a bad guy over the years.
Pastor, we're getting almost to the end of the hour.
Huh?
We're almost at the end of the hour.
Okay.
Before we leave, I would like to ask you to pray for us one more time, for you, me, our family, your family, Sam's family, for our radio station.
Okay. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we live in dangerous days. Here we have a man and his family who have put themselves on the line to run this radio station and to get the word out. And our own family, all of us, we're standing head to head with the enemy. And we do it because we trust you. We believe that you will back us and that you'll make things right and you'll judge things correct. But Lord, we need to see evidences, and we need to have the financial support of many of your people. And we need to see that you're working in the hearts of your people, that they understand the problem and they're willing to be a part of the solution. And Father, I pray especially now for this man and his staff and all the radio station, that you would anoint them, build a wall of protection around them, give them the shield of Abraham, that they could not be touched nor harmed. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. Thank you so much. I hated to interrupt you, but I felt like we needed another prayer, because we are under attack. Pastor, thank you so much for coming on. I'll throw one more tune out there to back you up. I have been to most of all the big mainstream, so-called mainstream news people here in Memphis. to try to tell them what's going on in South Africa, and they tell me that it's a non-story.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor. I hope you'll be agree to come back on very soon. I'll be contacting you real soon. You can call me anytime, day or night, Pastor. You have my phone number.
All right. We love you.
People.
God bless.
Love you too, Pastor. Pray for you. People, that's a wrap. You've listened to 2 hours straight of Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie Bombardier Miller, and God bless you. Hope to see you next week, the 23rd, same time, same place. Thank you, Sam, so much, my brother. Good night, everybody.